Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main generator.
Echo Station 3TA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I can take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Echo Base. This is episode number 102. I'm your host, Chris McGuffin, and Luseki is not here tonight, unfortunately. He had some weather get in the way of his podcasting tonight, so figures for something like Hoth. But I do have my trusty co-host, Tim. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing pretty darn good. How about yourself?
I'm not too bad. So we have a very, very special episode lined up for you this week. We actually have a special guest that we will be interviewing later on in the show. But we do have actually some really exciting network updates to announce. We have new Patreon perks.
Woohoo!
I know, it shouldn't come as a surprise, given that Lou and I have been teasing that for about a month or so now. But we're finally ready to announce it. So here we go. $1 a month is obviously you have our special thanks, but most importantly, you still get access to the Slack channel. Yes, we're not changing that. It's the best perk. That's why it's at $1. It's the cheapest option. And honestly, that's a deal. I mean, you get to interact with yours truly. You get to interact with Tim and Lou and everyone else on the network, including Derek, unfortunately. But
there's the Derek mention.
Yeah,
of the episode.
I got it in now, so it doesn't happen later in the episode.
Someone in Slack, we were recently talking about some Slack things in Slack, a very meta kind of thing, and someone mentioned it like that $1 Patreon donation is like the gateway, because it's Slack does kind of get addicting. I mean, like during the day, sometimes I just have to shut it down and stop because I can't get any work done, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Great interaction through the whole day. So the next step after $1, if you go up to $5 a month. Now, keep in mind, you can do $2, $3, $4 a month. That will still get you the Slack access. But if you make the leap to $5 a month, that will get you early access to show content. So that stuff is going to come to you by way of email. You'll get a link there. It will take you to the Patreon website, and you will be able to then get this stuff into your ear holes before the rest of the world does, along with some exclusive bonus content, too.
And this goes for not only Echo Base, but for all of the shows. So if you ever wanted to know what happens in the 2.5 hours of Cordcast recording that doesn't make the final episode, well, now you know. If you were a $5 a month contributor.
Yeah.
So at $10 a month, you get to submit show ideas or topics. Not ideas for podcasts, although we would, be up to hearing that, but show topics. So if you send us something that you think we should talk about, and 9 times out of 10, we'll like it. But, even that 1 time out of 10, we'll say, you know what? We appreciate your donation. We'll do it anyway. So if you want to hear me talk about how awful the prequels are, that or why The Phantom Menace is a bad movie, I'm not going to like it, but I'll talk about it. Let us know. We'll use that on the show. You'll get credit for it. So that is what happens at $10 a month.
If you want to hear Lou talk like a Gungan through an entire Echo Base episode.
Please. I know there are people right now that's at the $10 level. Send that in as soon as you, stop listening to the episode right now. Go send that to us so we can do it. Because Lou will most likely not hear this until after the fact. So
it'll be too late.
He can't do anything about it.
Exactly. There is actually a slight tangent. In Google, there is a Gungan translator that someone put together. So you can actually type out your stuff in, standard English, and it will spit out. It will basically do a translation for you in Gungan, and it's brilliant, and I love it.
Ah, mori mori.
Perfect.
And So for $15 a month, you get a monthly roundtable discussion on randomchatter.com. So basically what we're going to do here is we're going to give you a topic and we're going to ask you to vomit some stuff back at us. So this can be sentence, paragraph, page, whatever. Notice here we say sentence, paragraph, or page. If you go beyond that, we reserve rights to do some heavy redacting. Yeah. So we'll kind of pull all that stuff together into a document, put that up on randomchatter.com, kind of like a blog type of format. You know, you guys get to express your thoughts on whatever topic it is that we give you. Like, you know, what were the best parts about Lou talking like a Gungan?
I'm sorry. I'm just sitting here thinking about Lou talking like a Gungan. It's just, someone please email us right now.
This is very, very bad.
Moving on. At $20 a month, monthly hangouts are returning. I can't promise you that it'll be the same person every month, and I can't promise you that it will be more than one person or more than one host per month. But for $20, we will have at least one host set up a Google Hangout, and you get to just come chat with us, you know, live. You don't have to have a microphone. It's not going to be recorded or anything like that. So, you know, just come chat for, you know, an hour or so, and it'll be varying random chatter hosts. It might be me and Tim. It might be Joelle and Lou. God, we might have to have Derek or somebody on.
If you contribute at the $30 a month level, you truly can add your voice to the Random Chatter Network. We will do, for people who contribute at this level, we're going to do a monthly show. It will be moderated by at least one of our regular hosts. And for this one, you do kind of have to have some measure of recording equipment. Or no, you don't, not necessarily recording equipment, but a microphone. So you can speak with us. Probably do it over Skype. And we'll talk about whatever. So it's like a hangout, except an audio version of a hangout. We think that'd be a good time. And you'll be able to then have a recording of that whole discussion. Completely free form, unstructured, good time. Talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And this will be like it's not going to be something we post publicly. So it will be a Patreon exclusive show. So it's almost like another podcast, but only for the most privileged of people.
And with that, let's go to the news, shall
Perfect.
We?
So, Forces of Destiny, which is something that we heard about back at Star Wars Celebration Orlando, got a trailer today, or a preview, if you want to call it that. Tim, did you watch it?
I did. It's actually very teasery, you know, really, really short snippets and images. Little bit of dialogue that you get out of it. Really, very cool. I mean, we're looking at, this is not the type of animation that we are used to from things like Rebels or Star Wars The Clone Wars. A completely different style of animation. I think it's, you know, the target audience is for even younger kids, but it definitely looks enjoyable for any of us. The episodes apparently are just 2 to 3 minutes long. This is being produced by Disney. They're going to be featured on Disney's YouTube channel. It's really cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I know there were people obviously complaining on Twitter and YouTube that why is it only female characters? But I'm like, are you really going to sit down and complain about a 2 to 3 minute series of episodes? Like, do you not have anything else better to do? Plus, it's not like this is something that is, quote unquote, making Star Wars girly and like adding pink unicorns and rainbows that, you know, a lot of things that are directed to young girls are, they have that kind of stuff. This is like Rey and Jen and Leia and all of these other characters that...
It's still Star Wars.
Yeah, it's not like we're doing anything different than we wouldn't get in another animated show that might focus on, you know, one of these characters.
Exactly. I love that they're doing it. These are these are great characters, and they're actually many of them are being voiced by the actresses who played them in the film. So Daisy Ridley, Lupita Nyong'o, Felicity Jones, they're voicing their characters in this, which is just so cool.
Yeah, I like that too, because I feel like when it comes to, especially like Rogue One, Felicity is known for just being Jen Erso in Rogue One. But now that she can, you know, and it's only a little short, so it's not, you know, like a full-fledged animated series like Rebels is, but at least she's getting exposure to Star Wars in another way, and I would kind of like to see that explored in, you know, maybe an actual full series or something to that effect at some point in the future.
Yeah. Who knows if this has really good reception to it, and maybe that's even the concept behind this for Disney, that, you know, hey, this is kind of a trial run, and if people really like it, if people respond to it well, maybe they'll do something that is a longer format, which yeah. I think would be outstanding, because truthfully, they could fill the, you know, 22 minutes of a half hour episode with these characters on various adventures and giving little pockets of backstories and in between stories and that kind of stuff. So I think it's really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing it. July 3rd is going to be the premiere for this on, again, Disney's YouTube channel. And I think they're actually going to be showing some of them on the Disney channel. I imagine they're only 2 to 3 minutes. So, you know, probably between episodes of other things of their regular shows, kind of like a, you know, commercial format. Mm-hmm. But I think it's great.
So moving on from this, I'm curious, because you weren't on the show last week when Lou and I had this discussion. What are your thoughts about the whole Han Solo director debacle?
Well, you know, obviously in the last week or so, the rumor mill has really churned over this. So it's getting more and more interesting. And we talked about it a little bit, Lou and Liz and I, on Random Chatter a few days ago, just because we didn't really jump so much into the Star Wars part of it. But this is a significant enough thing in filmmaking, period. And I think it's being exacerbated even more because of our fandom. This is a big deal to us. You're messing with our movies here, you know, and we want to make sure that we have good stuff. So it's obviously we can talk about it. I hate to cast stones within the rumors, but it does seem that a lot of these rumors, we're getting a fair amount of corroboration, and most of these statements are being made to the media are not being attributed to people. You know, these are undisclosed sources, but the rumors seem to all kind of complement each other that Lord and Miller were not, it's hard to say that they weren't doing a good job, but they were not doing the job that clearly Lucasfilm wanted. They weren't doing the job that Kathleen Kennedy wanted. And from what I'm hearing, they weren't doing the job that we as Star Wars fans really would have wanted them to do. You know, there were things going around of Lord and Miller kind of getting, they're like going way off script, even though they were told not to, and getting Alden Ehrenreich to do things in what was stated by one source as a very Jim Carrey type of performance. You know, we don't want slapstick Han Solo. I mean, for as much as I joke around about Jar Jar, we don't need Han Solo and Jar Jar to be merged. That is not what we want from a Han Solo film. And, you know, I think both you and I have kind of the same perspective on this film, that neither of us are particularly excited about the film. It's not something that we really thought needed to be done. But that said, it is a Star Wars film, and I'm excited to see, despite the fact that I'm not really thrilled about them focusing on Han Solo and whatever his kind of backstory that they're going to give him in this, they are going to show us more parts of the Star Wars universe. And that does excite me. That's what makes me really happy. I mean, if you know, Han is Corellian, if they're going to go to Corellia, I'm excited about that. I want to see Corellia. You know, we're bound to see more aliens. We're bound to see different vehicles, weapons, starships, all that kind of stuff. And I would love to see how else that they connect things beyond, you know, what we know in terms of you know, Han and Lando. You know, what else they're going to do with it. So, you know, bring in Ron Howard. Ron Howard's a heavy hitter. This is not his genre, but he is, at least to some extent, he's a fan of Star Wars. He's not the guy who is going to leave this in a bad state. Obviously, any film out there, there are critics of films, movies that certain people didn't like. And, you know, give me any director and we can probably say, well, yeah, I really didn't like that movie they did, but I love this other movie. So, you know, things are hit and miss. They're also up to, you know, our own personal likes and dislikes and such. But that aside, I think it can be pretty well argued that he is a good director. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to do well by this. If the rumors that we're hearing about what Lord Miller had done are true, I am hard pressed to believe that Ron Howard, regardless of how good he is going to be able to meet the deadline that Kathleen Kennedy reinforced in terms of a release date of this coming out next spring. I just don't see it. I see, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hours of reshoots happening with this movie, above and beyond what the normal would be. So I wish it luck. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, as you guys talked about in the last episode of Echo Base, we will probably never completely know the whole story. And that's fine. Whatever. I mean, it's, yes, we have an interest in it. But in the end, do we get a good film or don't we?
Yeah, I'm going to save my thoughts because I think this would be a fun discussion on the show to have maybe like next episode if we can. But maybe have something along the lines of, because Han Solo isn't the first Star Wars movie since the Disney acquisition that's had trouble. And it might be interesting to talk about that and explore possible reasons why and whether or not we still agree with the direction that the franchise is going via Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
So I'm going to save my thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let it fester for a little bit. See if we get any more concrete news about that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what else comes out.
But, you know, speaking of concrete, we do have some pavement-related news.
Great segue.
Mark Hamill is getting his star made on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
To which everyone in the world said, huh, he doesn't already?
My thoughts exactly. Actually, Mark has been in the news kind of a lot in the past week or so. Not only is he getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, he's getting a street named after him in San Diego, where he has lived for 4 years, or where he did live for 4 years. And he also announced on Twitter that he hates the Luke action figure that fits inside a Tauntaun. And, you know, I don't know if you saw this, Tim, but the autographing world had a scare earlier when New York Comic Con mistakenly announced that Mark's appearance in New York this October would be his last convention appearance.
Ever.
But it's only the last. Yeah, ever. But it's only the last for this year.
Yeah.
Which I thought was the case because I was like, there's no way Mark Hamill, of all people, is, because he loves fan interaction, would stop autographs like at conventions. And I was like, uh-oh, maybe something's wrong with him that he, you know, we just don't know about. But then he quickly put that rumor to rest and was like, I'm just not doing anymore for 2017 after October. It's fine. You haven't seen the last of me yet.
Yep. Well, and exactly. It's going to be October. I mean, New York City Comic Con really marks the end of the con season. I mean, there's some other smaller ones, but once New York City Comic Con is gone, that's pretty much it for the year. And, you know, I'm sure he has some other things to do. He hopefully has another movie to start working on.
Yeah. So we did have a few more things to talk about before we get into our interview. Star Wars films are now starting to, well, one film has arrived on Netflix, at least, as part of that agreement. In July, Rogue One is going to be put on Netflix, which means that I don't have to buy it because I yet to purchase.
But it's still worth owning, Chris. And keep in mind, Netflix is temporary. It's not going to be there forever.
I don't care. Once it goes off Netflix in X amount of years, I will purchase it. Or if someone or if someone would like to be nice and buy it for me.
Are you asking me?
I'm asking anyone.
Lou can do it. Lou's not here. So along with talking like a Gungan, he can purchase you a copy of Rogue One.
Yeah, there you go. I'll take that. but yeah, that is going to be on Netflix. I don't know the actual date. But
mid-July sometime.
Yeah, it is going to be on there, so you can start to watch it. And it's actually the first Star Wars film in the agreement. I think TFA may be there eventually.
They were not included. They were apparently included in the agreement with Netflix Canada. So our Canadian listeners will be able to see it on Netflix there, but there was some different licensing type of arrangement that they had.
Well, I thought it was that, I knew there was a different arrangement, but I thought it was that it would be shown on Stars first, and then later on, like a few years later, it would show up on Netflix.
You could be right. I don't know. I know episodes 1 through 6 are Turner, TBS and TNT have broadcast rights to. Episode 7, I don't know offhand where that sits. But I do know that this Netflix arrangement from Rogue One moving forward actually precludes things like Stars and HBO and a lot of those other similar types of, on-demand type of programming or premium pay type of programming. So it's kind of a big deal for Netflix to get this. And that this was an exclusive arrangement between them and Disney. So definitely going forward from Rogue One and then Episode 8 and the Han Solo film, whatever version of that we get, and going forward from there. So it's pretty exciting, and it's a big deal for Netflix.
So finally, DK has announced that the Ultimate Lego Star Wars Encyclopedia will be oncoming.
I am so excited about this, Chris.
See, okay, I'm not into like encyclopedia type stuff, but I do appreciate this, given that at one time I owned just about every single Star Wars Lego set possible, up till about Revenge of the Sith came out.
Nice.
Yeah. So I can see why this would be interesting.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Star Wars Lego. This encyclopedia, every set, every minifig, every vehicle for Lego Star Wars is going to be in this. And I mean, hopefully you guys are, you know, our listeners and you are aware of how DK does these encyclopedias. I mean, they put in a ton of information. They have great illustrations. These are large format books. These are, you know, coffee table size books. And, you know, they're the ones who kind of tend to explode the drawings and such. So I'm really looking forward to how they do this. I don't know if they've ever done another Lego thing, if DK has. If they have, I'm probably the next time I go to the bookstore, I'm going to take a look and see, because I want to see what they've done with Lego stuff. But this one comes out in October, and I am absolutely thrilled. I can't wait.
So before we, I'm going to throw it over to you for the lead into our interview. But why don't you give us a tease about what we're going to be talking about, at least one thing we're going to be talking about next episode.
Oh, next episode. Well, I think you guys mentioned in the last episode in 102, when you were discussing my absence.
You mean 101?
This 101, is 102. I'm sorry. Yes, this is 102. Thank you. I had a trip out to San Francisco last week. It was a work-related trip, which I was able to stay an extra day, got in touch, and you know, it was pre-arranged, got in touch with our good friend Justin Bulger, who is responsible for much of the social media content that comes out of Lucasfilm. And I kind of got to pay him a visit, and he kind of gave me a tour and stuff.
Nice.
And yeah, it was a really good time. Spent a couple hours there, and I just want to go on about it now. I'm still very excited.
it's funny because you've not talked about it really, aside from a couple pictures here and there you put in Slack. You've not really said anything about it, so I'm kind of hoping that you keep it under wraps until next recording, so it's a surprise for me too.
Yeah, and that's kind of been my intent, was I did want to talk about it on the show, so I've not been spreading a whole lot of information out there. It was really real cool experience. I mean, there's no, you know, spoilers of anything that come out. In fact, we had to sign a non-disclosure of sorts, even just going in. But, you know, even with that, I didn't see or hear anything that had to do with any upcoming films. But it was a good time. Really, really neat place. Justin was awesome. It was good to see him. And I did talk to Justin about coming on to the show sometime in the near future. He said he absolutely would. We just kind of have to work through the corporate channels on that with Lucasfilm, and he'll be happy to come on. So I actually hope to have him on pretty soon. He has a little bit of news himself that I'm hoping the timing works out, that he can kind of break that news. And this is his own personal news, has nothing to do with Lucasfilm, that he might be able to break on our show.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Tim, so why don't you give a little bit of background about our interview before we start that?
We do have our interview, which we're going to cut to here in a moment, with Ro Coley. He is the president of War Machine Marketing. Gosh, he just does some absolutely incredible stuff with his company and his partner that works with him, doing some things. They do, you know, the foundation of War Machine Marketing is doing what you would normally see as marketing for, you know, corporations and conventions and that kind of stuff. And, you know, they do lanyards and pens and coasters and such. But there's some other really cool stuff that they do that Chris found and was able to get Ro on the show with us. So the guy is a huge Star Wars fan. Lots of energy. Lots of energy. This interview, we went like an hour 15, I think. And we probably could have gone 4 hours with the guy. Yeah. But I don't think either one of us would have been able to keep up. Dude has some serious energy, so excited, huge Star Wars fan. He definitely knows his stuff. So yeah, he was awesome to have on. And so everyone sit back and enjoy our discussion with Ro Coley from War Machine Marketing. Okay, folks, we have joining us on this episode of Echo Base, Ro Coley, who is the president of War Machine Marketing. How are you, Ro?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
We're doing great. We're glad to have you here joining us. Tell us, what in the world is War Machine Marketing?
Sure. War Machine Marketing actually is a promotional product and marketing collateral company. So basically, we make promotional items and branded merchandise. So anytime you go to a convention or any kind of anywhere, basically, and you get handed something that's got a logo on it, I'm one of those kinds of people who makes that stuff. So when you go to Celebration or Comic-Con and you get handed a postcard or a lanyard or a patch or what have you, I make all of that. So if it's got a logo on it, I can make it. So awesome. I do stuff for General Giant, for Sideshow Collectibles, Kotobukiya, the 501st, Taco Bell, you know, Konami Video Games, you name it. If somebody needs something printed or made, I can make it.
How Taco Bell was just thrown in there with all the random like toy companies.
Because I realized like, people don't know what General Giant is. How about Taco Bell? They must know Taco Bell.
Oh yeah. Well, I was going to say you really named off things that all Star Wars fans love. I can't think of many Star Wars fans that don't appreciate Taco Bell for the.
Well, exactly.
It's Taco Bell. We're not going to talk much about that. So some of the coolest things that we've seen you do, and Chris is the guy who got hooked up on this, then he sent me the information, are these custom action figures.
Yes, that's the one thing that we do that is it's one of my favorite things in the world. I mean, you know, it's great to make keychains and license plate covers for, you know, companies like Toyota and whatnot, but we do custom action figures that look like people. So basically, if you have a favorite character and you want to be that action figure, that's we can make that. And they're all completely unique one-off figures, so it'll just be one of one. We don't mass produce. There's no 3D printing or molds or casting or anything like that. They're all hand done.
That's insane.
I feel like that's pretty much any Star Wars fan's dream.
You would think it's amazing how many people come by my booth at Comic-Con and whatnot, and they're like, oh, cool, custom figures, okay, cool, and that, thanks. And I'm like, you're dressed as an X-Wing pilot. How can you not want one? So it's funny how, you know, sometimes the reaction is a little confusing to me. Sometimes we get people who are just like drooling and foaming at the mouth, and then other time people are like, nah. And I'm like, really? You're dressed as a Jedi and you don't want a figure of you as a Jedi that looks like you? Okay, I don't know. It's like, I don't know how else to sell it after that, you know?
Yeah,
but yeah, it's seriously one of the most fun things we get to do. I have an amazing sculptor named Kevin Ferrier who just knows how to matrix figures together like I've never seen in my life. And ever since I met him, me and him struck up a friendship and, you know, we decided to go into business together and do this. And so people, you know, they request one, they commission us to make it, and they let us know what kind of figure they want. And here's pictures, you know, and then we just work off of photos. And then that's pretty much it. It's a really amazing, weird process that's really oddly simple. I don't know if I can speak for Kevin in the simple part, but, you know, for me, it's great.
I'm actually looking through one of your albums right now, and I got to a Death of Han Solo custom figure.
Oh, yeah.
It has Kylo stabbing Han. That is brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, these are. If you get a chance,
in one of the folders, there's a Battle Tauntaun. That is probably one of my favorite figures you will ever see, ever. It's just so detailed and beautiful. Literally, when he gave it to me, because I commissioned it for a friend of mine who's a Tauntaun fanatic, he handed it to me because he refused to take pictures of it and show it to me until he gave it to me in person. I almost started crying. That's how amazing it was. Because that's awesome. It's not even so much, you know, if you pick up a 3D printed figure, it's like you can feel that it's light and that it's hollow and you know, you can feel the ridges on the, you know, the way it prints and everything. Mm-hmm. With our figures, they literally feel like you just open them up in a from the packaging. It feels like you open a box and there's your figure and you're holding you in your hand. And there's really nothing quite like that feeling. It's, you know, that's why if somebody in Southern California gets one from us, 9 times out of 10, unless they're a little bit far out there, I will hand deliver it because I live to see the expression on people's face of when they get it, because it literally mirrors mine every single time. And so it's almost like I get to relive my first experience getting my figure every single time. And, I mean, I've seen people cry. I've seen people, like, literally just, like, jump up and down. I've seen wives who order them for their husbands for birthday or Christmas gifts just, like, you know, just look at me almost like this, like, thank you. Like, you know, like, you just made this dream come true kind of thing. It really is. That's why it's, like, it's one of the, like I said, it's, you know, making keychains and things of that nature is fun and it's fine and it's great to pay the bills. But I love that we can integrate this because – we can do so many different types of figures. It's not even just Star Wars. I mean, yeah, you can do Star Wars or Star Trek or G.I. Joe. But I mean, like, I don't know. Hopefully you guys can see this. But I mean, I have a Lakers stormtrooper right here.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is great.
You know? So it's like, so we can do sports stuff, you know, because we realize that, you know, yeah, tons of people are passionate about Star Wars. I am. I have 2 Star Wars tattoos. I have, you know, I'm a huge fan, but then people are just as passionate about sports as they are about sports. So why should we, even though I'm not a sports fan, why should we, you know, isolate those people? Like, no, let's bring everybody into it. This could be a really fun thing. So we can do a Star Wars character, or we could just do you on a regular day. Just jeans and t-shirt, you know?
Well, and I have to imagine, you know, like for actors and actresses, that it's like really surreal for them. You know, Samuel L. Jackson, you know, dude's been in a ton of movies. But when Star Wars, you know, after he was in a Star Wars movie, to then go, you know, walk through Walmart or whatever and see an action figure of him. I mean, that's got to be mind blowing. And you're doing that for people. For everyday people, not Samuel L. Jackson, who already has a gazillion made for him, but you're doing it for me and Chris and anyone else out there.
But what you were saying is correct. It's like Samuel L. Jackson has, I mean, God, he's been in 80 trillion things. But yeah, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, walking through, like being someone like Seth Green, let's just say, who has maybe 1 or 2 action figures of him, I mean, walking through Toys R Us and be like, wow, like that's me. That's crazy. Yeah. But For regular people like you and me and a lot of other people out there, I mean, you know, no matter how high up you are in the 501st, you know, Hasbro's not going to make a figure of you, right. You know, like no matter how, you know, I mean, George Lucas has 2 action figures of him. I mean, like, you know, it's like he's only got 2 and he made the whole damn thing, you know. So it to me, I just go, you know, this is an opportunity for each person and not only for each person, but it's accessible for everybody. And that's what we really want people to know and to understand is that it's accessible. It's not something that we created for the super rich. It's not that I want, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio coming up to me and saying, hey, I want me and Gangs of New York, you know, like it's something that's accessible. It's affordable for people. And now that we can do custom packaging, which I'll also show you. So here's one that we're doing for a girl who cosplays as Dark Rey.
Awesome.
Wow.
So this is for our listeners, basically, this is like a regular action figure card backer that has the art on it of the action figure that you guys built.
Exactly, exactly. And, I mean, in this case, we used a traditional vintage Star Wars back with a little bio for her at the bottom.
Oh, that's so cool.
Sweet.
Ah, but here's the kicker. Okay, I'm going to actually do something here. I'm going to use a sample figure. Actually, no, I'll use our Dark Ray. What the hell? I'm going to show you another really cool figure that we just recently did that I think you guys will get a kick out of. Let's see. Let's put her in there. Sorry, guys. Sorry, listeners. It's going to take me a second.
They're patient. They have to put up with me. So,
yeah, fair enough. Okay. So I'm going to show you something. So, as you can see, there's a figure in there, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. The beauty of our packaging is the blister lifts off.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that is nice.
So you don't have to tear it apart.
Take your figure out. You can show it to people. You can display it, and then you put it right back in, and it is always mint on card.
Sweet.
That is nice.
Put it right back in. Put it right back into your star case, and you can just display it, and that's that. So you never have to worry about wrecking packaging. You don't have to have your action figure held hostage by the packaging. You know, it's accessible. Like I said, it's a one-of-a-kind art piece. Why should it be held behind bars, you know?
Yeah.
So I've got to ask, what in the world made you, like, say, I want to do this? Because I feel like it's a very cool thing, don't get me wrong, but it's something that I personally would not think of myself unless I had some kind of inspiration.
You know, okay, I'll tell you the story. It's actually kind of interesting. I'm a huge Boba Fett fan. Like many, many others, I'm a huge Fett fan. But at the same time, for nothing, how many Boba Fetts can you really collect? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, you get Boba Fett this way, Boba Fett the 300th figure, Boba Fett the General Giant statue. You know, it's – and while I love them all, they all look great, I get kind of bored, you know? So I went online. I was on eBay, and I was looking up custom action figures, and I found one for a Mandalorian mercenary. And I was like, all right, what's this? So I saw it. I was like, wow, that looks really awesome. The helmet came off. The gun went into the holster. Like, this, it was a phenomenal-looking figure. In fact, I'm going to show it to you right now. This is the very first one that I ever got. So it's a Mandalorian mercenary.
Nice.
Helmet comes off. He's got a holster for his gun. He comes with a nice big fat gun. It was great. Comes with his own stand. And each figure comes with their own standing plate, too, with their name or the name of your character on it, as long as the lettering fits. And I was like, I got it in the mail, and I was like, dude, this is amazing. What? Like, so I contacted the guy who turned out to be my friend Kevin now. And I was like, look, I have what I would consider to be a kind of a basic head. You know, it's like I have a goatee and I have a mohawk and all these kinds of things. But I said, look, if I was a Mandalorian general and my name was the War Machine, what would I look like to my enemies and to my army? And I said, my colors are red, black, silver, and gray. And I said, let me see what you can do. He said, okay. And I'm going to show you what I got in the mail. I got this in the mail.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That is what I got. Now, mind you, okay, and there's my face right there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, my head right there. I come with a removable backpack, jetpack, excuse me, removable jetpack, two guns in both holsters.
Mm-hmm.
I come with a lightsaber, which actually fits in a little tiny spot right back there, which is here somewhere.
And a mini gun.
This big old cannon. And each figure that we do has 10 to 14 points of articulation.
Wow.
So you can pose these things as good, if not better, than G.I. Joe guys.
Sure.
I mean, Kung Fu Grip, just about Kung Fu Grip and all. Nice. And when I got this thing in the mail, because he had given me his phone number also, I gave him a call and I said, we got to talk. Because I was like, this is dream-making kind of stuff. I was like, this is the most amazing thing ever. Your attention to detail, I didn't even ask him to do this. I don't know if you could see it on the chest plate, but it says WM. Yep. War Machine. Didn't ask him to do that. He just did it. He actually did a zombie of my wife, because she loves zombies, where it came with my severed head in her arm.
That's awesome.
So he likes to add these weird little accoutrements and stuff that you just don't really expect, and it's amazing. So that's when I told him, I said, hey, look, let's go into business. And we've been promoting it ever since at conventions and Comic-Cons and everywhere we possibly can. And I'm a sponsor of the 501st. So I sponsor their droid hunt last 2 years. I'm sponsoring their Comic-Con party this year. So if you guys are going, you'll see my stuff. We made their bags and their these like mugs that they're doing, these like little plastic beer mugs. For their Comic-Con party. We just want to get the word out there that this is here. It's here and it's for everyone. And again, it's not solely Star Wars. We can do mashups. I'm sure if you look in some of the albums, you'll see some of the mashups. Like we did a Darth Vader Joker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll come up with weird stuff all the time. We did a Deadpool Jedi, Deadpool Clone Trooper, Green Lantern Clone Trooper. God, what else have we done? We've done all sorts of goofy stuff.
I saw Star Wars, Star Trek crossed.
Yes. Yeah, we did a Star Wars, Star Trek ones. We've done, what was the other one? We were supposed to do a Wolverine Boba Fett. That didn't happen, though, unfortunately. But we were ready to rock that one. But we can also do characters that have never been made before. So we've done, like, Akmina, Bea Arthur's character from the holiday special. You know? So every once in a while, we get orders from completionists who are like, hey, I need every Jedi from the Geonosian arena. You know, like there's this one back there. He's kind of blurry. And we go into it and we kind of research it and we find out who that character is. And we go, okay, it's just a weird generic Jedi who happens to have some weird backstory. And okay, yeah, cool. Let's make it.
Sure. Sure.
You know, and that's what we do. We made, trying to think of who else we've done. Well, yeah, we've done like, Daredevils and Batmans and tons of stuff. So yeah, I mean, even in the case of, where'd he go? I don't know if you guys are Firefly fans.
Oh yeah.
Awesome. So Funko was doing those reaction figures. Now I love Funko. Don't get me wrong, but two of the things that I can't stand for Funko are Dorbs and reaction figures. the reaction figures were cool at first when they were just doing Alien, because that was cool. It was a cool retro awesome kind of thing. When they went all kind of crazy on it, I was like, all right, forget it. So they did a Malcolm Reynolds that, in my opinion, just looks terrible, you know. So we redid him.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's got his gun and his holster, and it's the actual gun that's for Malcolm. Yep. You know, again, fully posable. And awesome, and he comes with his nameplate too. All the figures also have peg holes in the feet, so you can put them on pretty much any 3¾-inch scale playset or vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Wow!
So yeah, you could totally have your figure piloting the Millennium Falcon, no problem. Yeah. Best thing ever. I'm still waiting. I just want to get my Slave One in. If I can, once I find an affordable Slave One, believe me, my figure's got his himself a ride.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we can do characters. Like if you see a character that you just didn't like, we can do those. We can also do for existing figures, 3¾-inch that are 5 points of articulation, you know, like the vintage Star Wars ones or like the Rebels one that are out now. We can give them articulation.
Wow.
So you can actually play with them and pose them and everything. So while, you know, Hasbro keeps the articulation to the Black Series for the most part, you know, they have made Ezra or, you know, a lot of figures like that, you know, for that part of it. So you don't have to wait for a Black Series Ezra. We can actually make it articulated.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. So between me and Kevin, we're pretty big on the nerdy aspect of action. You know, I mean, it's funny because when we go to a swap meet or a flea market or something like that, you know, both of our wives are just like, oh, come on. And we're like, no, look at the ankles. You know, just like looking at elbow joints and like, you see how this elbow joint works? And my wife is just like, I could care less, really. You know,
now, have you gotten into making them too? Or is that just Kevin? I mean, are there more people?
No, it's just Kevin right now. His wife Lynn sometimes does some of the paint work if it needs to be really intricate. Basically, the way it works is I'm the mouth, he's the hands. That's mm-hmm. that's kind of how it is. So, you know, he's an artist, and I love him to death. He's a great, great friend of mine. But he's just not – he doesn't like talking to people. He is not very good about talking about himself to other people. So to him, he's just doing what kind of comes naturally to him. To me, mm-hmm. I'm like, look, there was fire, there was the wheel, and there's sliced bread, and now there's this. That's what I look at. You know? So it's like, to me, I'm so overly excited about this every time I talk about it. He's just, and he kind of like is, in a weird way, he's like, yeah, it's cool, but he's, you know, in his head, he's kind of like, kind of rolling his eyes at me in a weird way, kind of like, okay, dude, it's not that great. And I'm like, no, it is. So, but it truly is when, you know, I mean, not for nothing, I have all these custom figures like set up around my table right now. And I'm like looking at them just like, oh, this is so cool. You know, I look at them every single day. You know, I look at them every single day. But it's like, but to me, it's such a cool thing that we really want. Like I said, we really want people to get into. I mean, we've even done some goofy ones like this one right here. I don't know if you could see this, but it's a Death Trooper.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. So, you know, so stuff like that we can do. Like I said, it's kind of, you know, it really is up to your imagination. There's very few things that we'll say no to. For instance, no aliens. So, you know, if you want to look like Greedo, you're just going to be Greedo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so rather than be like, hey, he's got a goatee, it must be me. You know, we just prefer not to do that just because it's, you know, it just kind of just doesn't lend itself well. We won't make anybody into the Incredible Hulk because the Hulk is basically just a regular human whose face is like stretched out and warped. So you wouldn't really be able to tell it was you anyway. Mm-hmm. And we won't do anybody as a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle because
he's
like a green G.I. Joe guy. And so, rather than kind of, you know, put together something that we feel is just not 100% quality wise, you know, or visually, you know, it just doesn't seem right. We've tried it and it just didn't quite work out, with the exception of one person. You guys have heard of Loot Crate, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. One of the CEOs of Loot Crate is a tremendous Admiral Akbar fan. And when I say tremendous, I mean, like, he's got, like, a shrine in his office to Admiral Akbar. It's pretty crazy. Wow. So we made one for him. And Akbar's head, luckily, is big enough that it actually substituted as a helmet. So it kind of – so in that regard, it actually worked.
Huh. That's a little freaky, though.
It's a little bizarre, but, you know, it could have been worse. He could have been a brony, and I don't know where that would have gone. So I'll take Admiral Akbar.
That's all right.
You know, so in that case, yeah, that was the only exception we ever made on the alien policy. But in the case of something like, let's just say you wanted to do Batman or Spider-Man or Daredevil, somebody who's got a form-fitting cowl, what we'll do is we'll actually give you your head, you know, on the body, holding the cowl, and then we'll also give you a replacement head with your head in the cowl. Wow, so this way, sweet. If you want to be Batman, you can be Batman, but if you want to be Batman but take the cowl off, you can switch heads and you have a replacement head. So either which way it works.
That's really cool. Now, you guys have found some really ingenious ways to do this stuff.
You know, like awesome. I said, Kevin just has a way with it. I've never, you know, it's funny. I try to throw curveballs at him all the time, and I'll be like, hey, man, I need something with four heads. And he's like, no problem. And I'm like, what, really? And I'll be like, hey, I need somebody in a three-piece suit. And he'll be like, whoa, slow down. And I'm like, that was going to be an easy one. Yeah, really weird. But, you know, if you get a chance on one of the albums, excuse me, you'll see a huge green snake-like creature. Figure. And it's actually Yoda's Jedi Master, the one who trained Yoda. And it's actually in the Star Wars encyclopedias. His name is totally escaping me. But if you look at that figure, that's a true testament to what we are capable of doing. It's a figure that literally, if I'm not mistaken, I think I've only seen like a drawing of the character, and it was only like a kind of a pencil type drawing. In one of the Star Wars encyclopedias, and the figure that he made is so, I mean, it's such a piece of art, in my opinion, that I'm constantly baffled by it whenever I see it. Same thing with the Battle Tauntaun. It really is something else. so it's, you know, like stuff like that. I'm constantly I'm constantly amazed at what he can come up with and where his mind goes. I mean, he's done one other one of me as Doctor Who, which he still needs to send me. He's done his kids as action figures. We've done kids as figures. We did a friend of mine's nephew as Doctor Who. we can do little kids. We can do grown ups. You know, you want to be a Klingon. Klingons and Romulans, that kind of thing, are probably the only aliens that will really kind of do, because they have more humanish kind of looks. But yeah, I mean, the repertoire is pretty intense.
Yeah, it's I mean, I'm just the album, and we'll definitely get links to your album out to our listeners through our show notes, because these are just incredible. I mean, I'm just scrolling through these as you're talking, and I'm floored by every single one of them. It's really incredible.
It's really something else. And it's funny too, because Kevin makes fun of me because he says that I don't know how to pose them. But I kind of treat them like they're crystal. And he's like, no, you can just do this. And I'm like, oh, my God, what are you doing? You know, so it's like when you look at, like, the Lakers stormtrooper, like, the way he's got him posed, like, he's doing, like, a crazy overhand dunk. And yep. I'm like, I have no idea how you even did that, dude.
I just found the battle tauntaun. Oh, this is incredible. Stunning. Is absolutely incredible.
I'm going to tell you some. Is there a rider on it or no?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Good. So check this out. So the way he did the tauntaun is really, really, is really brilliant. He took the button that makes the legs move out, and he constructed. I'm still not sure how he did this, but he constructed the back of the saddle to kind of come up, and it fit inside where the button was. Mm-hmm. But he left a little bit of space, a little sliver of space. But what he did was he gave the rider a harder plastic tunic, so that when you bend her at the knees, you put the back of the tunic into that little slot, she never falls out the saddle.
Wow, brilliant.
Yeah, right? I'm
like, that's mind-blowing, yeah.
Wouldn't have thought of that. But
that's incredible.
His thing was, every time he used to, you know, with the whole thing was, you know, when you have these riders on saddles, and especially with the older tauntauns and stuff, like that bit that was in the tauntaun's mouth would always break. Mm-hmm. So this way, it was just a way to kind of keep her in the saddle with weapons in both hands.
Yes. Yep.
You know? So she, and if you notice, if you look at the picture where she's got a lightsaber, if you are that kind of character, depending on whatever character you are, to be perfectly honest with you, we'll make a lightsaber hilt that's custom to your figure. So if you're going to be like a desert scout like that character is, you'll get kind of a desert scout kind of lightsaber. For my War Machine figure, my lightsaber, if you hold it one way, it, you know, you put the blade in on the top, it's a lightsaber. If you flip it over, it's an axe. You know? Huh. So yeah, so this way you're not getting some leftover Anakin saber, you're not getting some leftover, you know, Obi-Wan saber or something like that. You're getting one that is literally custom to your figure.
That's sweet.
You know, and that's the beauty of it, too. It's like, you know, it's funny because I see some of the people who have like the 3D printed, you know, 3D printed ones. Mm-hmm. And it's like either, I don't know, to me personally speaking, I just think that 3D printing for what we're doing isn't really, the technology is just not 100% there yet. So when you see the 3D print, it has that real grainy kind of feel to it and looks, I don't know, it looks like it's just sandy, like it's almost muddy, and so it doesn't have the smoothness that these figures have. And the same thing is like if you see somebody who's got a 3D printed figurine of themselves, yes, it might look exactly like them, and I won't take away from 3D printing in that regard, but at the same time, if you accidentally knock it over, it'll shatter. It's like a precious moment. Whereas our figures are actual action figures. You know, and if something does break, you can always send it back to us and we'll fix it.
That's awesome. Sure. Nakata Del Gormo.
That's it.
That's who we're. I just came across that one too with Yoda, and yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible stuff.
And if you get a chance, just Google his name, and then look at the figure versus the picture that you Google.
Sure.
Because again, it's stunning. It's really something else. And again, like what. The stuff that he can do is mind-boggling. And, I mean, are you guys Rick and Morty fans at all?
I've seen it a few times.
You've seen it. Okay, so you're kind of casual fans. Yeah, so we're actually unveiling a Rick and Morty figure, custom figure, this year at Comic-Con as well.
Wow.
And the funny thing is I didn't realize, because at first he was just doing Rick, which was great. And so we actually created a Rick packaging. And then he decided he was on a creative tear. So he decided to do Morty and a portal and this whole thing. He's like, oh, it's not going to fit on the packaging. I was like, but people are going to flip out when they see it. I mean, the other thing that we can do that I will show you guys is we can do what if figures, which is fun. So, for instance, if you ever wanted to know what Rey would look like if she was if she decided to go to the dark side, which is, you know, pretty popular theory to a lot for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite theories, actually, is that she will go to the dark side. That would be super amazing, I think. How awesome would it be if she went to the dark side and Kylo Ren had to bring her back?
Just saying.
That'd be a twist. Yeah, right? Seriously. So this is our Dark Rey figure. I don't know how well you can see that. Hopefully.
That's cool. Love the armor.
Yes, the armor is amazing. It's very, like, leather armor plated. Yep. And she comes with
Her own Knight of Ren helmet.
Her Knight of Ren mask. And if you notice, she's actually got Luke's saber right there and Kylo's saber right there.
Oh, wow.
Both of which come off. So sweet. All about removable accessories.
Wow.
We are all about removable accessories. In fact, her staff features a pull-apart lightsaber right there. So now she has her own lightsaber in the staff. Oops, did I do it the right way? I think I did it the wrong way. Sorry, guys. She does have her own lightsaber. That much I know. There we go. Just to go in there. So she's got her own lightsaber in the staff. Nice. So, yeah. So we're all, like I said, he'll create stuff that that nobody even asked for or even thought about ever. And sure enough, he will make that happen. There we go.
This is cool stuff. So you're going to be at San Diego Comic Con. Are you going to be at New York City?
You know what? Funny that you ask. So one of the things that we started, because it's not like I don't have enough work to do, we are actually starting our own magazine as well. Hmm. It's called C4. And C4 stands for, in addition to being,
explosive.
Explosive, plastic explosive. C4 stands for cosplay, conventions, culture, and collectibles. So cool. We're going to be the only magazine out there that's for the convention goer, which is you and me and everybody else. Mm-hmm. So, and about cosplay and about, like I said, collectibles and how it affects overall culture in general.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we're going to actually be launching our magazine at New York Comic Con. So originally I usually go just to kind of walk around. The company that puts on New York Comic Con is one of my clients, so I make a lot of their stuff. Mm-hmm. But this year we're kind of changing it up a little bit, apparently. So weirdly enough, got sprung on me a couple of weeks back. And now suddenly we're, we're hoping to have, just our one sheet at San Diego so we can, get advertisers and sponsors. But then the first issue we're looking to launch in October. So yeah, we will be at New York Comic Con for sure.
That's awesome. We're
supposed to have a table.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. We are not going to make it to San Diego, but Chris and I and Lou, the other regular host of this show, and I think a couple of the other guys who are part of our crew here are going to be in New York. So Friday and Saturday, I think, is when most of us are going to be there. So hopefully we will get to see you and shake your hand and get a copy of the magazine. Yeah. And
For sure. And actually, I mean, since we have a table and since it's our very first issue, I mean, there's only so much we can do on a table. So I'm actually going to be displaying the customs as well and talking about them, too. So you'll get to see those, I was going to say in the flesh, but that sounds dumb. but you'll be able to see them, in real life and really, it's one thing to talk about them, to see the pictures and everything like that. But when you really hold them and when you really move them and put the, guns in and out of the holster and the whole nine, it really, it takes on a different feel entirely, because I feel like when people look at them when they're in my display case, they're kind of like, oh, okay, cool, that looks nice. And then yeah. I'm like, no, yeah. I think you need to hold one, you know, and then they hold yeah. it and they take the helmet off and they take the backpack off and they're like, whoa, like this is legit.
Yeah.
That's when they understand the real the power behind it, which also sounds, you know, goofy, but
no,
you know,
I get
when
it.
when you really feel it, you know?
Yeah.
Because you
yeah.
feel the difference between an action figure, like, you know, the difference between an action figure that feels good and one that feels chintzy. Like, you can mm-hmm. feel that difference, you know, and it's a subtle difference, and it might not even be something you can really put into words. You know, you can't really be like, oh, this is lighter, this one's heavier. It's not even that. There's just this real feeling to them, you know. Yeah. And I think it's the same, you know, I would imagine that you know, you guys come from a, you know, possibly an earlier Star Wars timeline, if you will, like I do. Mm-hmm. But there was a certain feeling when you opened up an action figure back in the day, yeah. You know, from the vintage Star Wars into G.I. Joe, into things like Thundercats and He-Man. And then, oh, yeah. you know, to yeah. Spawn, you know, there's a very real feeling that you get that I feel is missing in a lot of figures nowadays. Like, I pick up some of those Rebels figures and I'm like, man, I picked up the new Princess Leia Rebel figure that somebody had. And I just lifted it and I was like, it doesn't even feel real. Like, it doesn't even feel like I'm holding it. It feels so light and thin that I'm just like, no, it could be that they're using a different style of plastic or a different blend of plastic or something of that sort. I get it. You know, I mean, you know, you got to sure. do it economical, of course. But there's a definite sense of disposability, I think might be the word.
Yeah,
that I feel
it's just crazy mass production, you know, and like you said, it's economic. So they're trying to make the best buck they can. And, right. you know, I think commercially, in terms of the stuff that's generally commercially available, the Black Series stuff is really awesome. And it's yes, probably some of the better stuff that's out there. And I've got quite a number of them myself.
Ditto that.
But yeah, I mean, the stuff you do is really incredible. What's the, generally speaking, mm-hmm. what's the price range on a custom action figure?
So they start at $150 and they go up from there. They usually hover between $200 and $300. You know, our goal isn't to break our customers. So, you know, just depending on how intricate it really is, if you're looking to do something like a Mando Merc, or something along those lines, mm-hmm. You know, that's where it can get a little bit pricey, just because all of their armor is way custom and way gorgeous yeah. and awesome. We love doing stuff yeah. like that, but it is really intricate stuff. So that can tend to be on the higher end of the spectrum, especially if you're doing obviously like a, you know, a Battle Tauntaun. That's where crazy. That was probably the most expensive we've done.
Sure. And I bet, like, you know, members of the Mercs, I mean, they're sending you like two dozen pictures of them in armor doing 360s to say, hey, here's all my armor pieces, what it looks like, and here's my face and all that stuff. And
right. And the funny thing is that we haven't really gotten that many Mandos to really be into it. They're all so, to them, according to one of the Mercs, they said, you know, when it comes to doing this, if we're going to spend $200, we're going to get a new helmet instead of an action figure of ourselves. And I was yeah. like, huh. All right. So I've actually offered to them and to the 501st that if you guys get three or more people together and you guys do it all at the same time, I will give you guys a group rate.
Sure.
So this way, you know, if one guy's is $300 and another guy's is $275 and another guy's is $285, fine, let's do everybody for $250 and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
So we are waiting for them to hopefully going to have somebody, you know, take us up on that. But in the meantime, you know, we do what we do, and, you know, we keep hoping that they'll come around. And we have one guy who is really into it, but he's just like, I don't have the money yet. All right, cool. But the way that we do it also is we charge half up front, and then the other half is due when it's done, and we ship for free.
Good deal.
So, and then the backing, the custom card is optional. That's an extra $80, depending on the art. If you already have if you already have a photo, like a Merc or something like that, like, or like this girl who cosplays, mm-hmm. you know, then it's $80. But if art actually has to be created, then it could be a little bit more, just because sure. more time sure. goes into it. for instance, my figure is, you know, I don't own this armor. Every Mando Merc is like, why don't you have armor? And I'm like, because who has time?
They do. So,
yeah, believe me, if I had the time, I mean, between War Machine, the action figures, and now this magazine, I'm like, oh, right, I have to fit sleeping and eating in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But since I don't have the armor for that, whoever does the backing card is going to have to literally create art that is me, you know? So,
sure.
So that sort of thing can definitely, that I have to, you know, work with an artist and, you know, their time obviously and their talent is valuable. So, you know, we have to make sure we have to check that out on a person by person basis. But yeah, the card for the most part is like $80 extra. And, like I said, we charge half up front and then the other half is due when it's done. And they take about 4 to 6 weeks on average. If you need it a little bit earlier, we can, you know, we can move it around a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it, like I said, and then it's like this way you have, you know, you're not out $200 just in one shot, you know, it's like, you know, you have 4 to 6 weeks to pull up the rest of the money. And then, you know, and we've had it sometimes where somebody's, we're like, hey, we're done. And they're like, I just need a couple more weeks to get the rest of the money. Okay, no problem. Then we'll, you know, if something happens where that person flakes or just disappears or whatever, you know, the deposit is non-refundable because we have to obviously get things started. But then this way
it becomes a demo for you guys.
Right, exactly. Then that's exactly it. If this way, if they flake, we're like, all right, great. Goes in the demo. So it goes in the, you know, it goes on the show. So, you know, this way it sucks when that happens. It's only happened, I think, like once. but, you know, it happened. It's, you know, that sort of thing can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Ro, this is, we could talk about this for hours. I just think this is incredible.
Good.
I think this is incredible.
Thank you very, very much.
But we don't want to take up a whole ton of your time. Chris, are there any questions that you have before we jump into the interrogations?
I think I'm good, personally. I can't wait to go to New York in October and see some of your stuff in person.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I mean, October's a long ways away, man. If you guys want to get a figure in the meantime, you know, we can actually do it where we present it to you in New York.
That's pretty cool, too.
See,
now you got me thinking.
And remember something, guys. Remember, it's like if you guys want, like if you just said like, hey, I want to be a stormtrooper, you don't have to just be a stormtrooper. You could be like, I want to be a stormtrooper, but I love the color red, you know, and we could just work it in there. So there's, you know, you don't have to just be a stormtrooper. Actually, really funny one, real quick. There's a guy in the 501st in New York. His name is John. He is, do you guys know Lemmy from Motorhead?
Yes.
Okay.
I do not.
He is the Lemmy stormtrooper.
Okay.
Okay.
He has Lemmy's hat, his beard, his chops and everything on the helmet. And so he commissioned us to make this fit his figure, and it should be in, I think it's an album too. I really hope it's an album too. And if it's not, I will send one to you guys. It is simultaneously hilarious and amazing because the helmet comes off and it's his head underneath, and he's in the 501st. He's like five different characters in the 501st, but then he's tremendous Motorhead fan. So he loves Motorhead. And when I saw him, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And when you see this figure, you're going to laugh your ass off. But that's the thing is that, you know, you guys can really kind of do whatever, you know, if you're like, I want to be a stormtrooper, but I want to have this kind of gun, or I want to have a bazooka, or I want to, you know, like, just let us know, you know, you guys can make it however you want. You know, we don't have to fit in canon. Sure. Consider anything you guys want to do as legends. You know? It's like, this guy's not canon. No, he's not. He is a legend.
Absolutely. Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
So.
All right.
If you guys are into it, like I said, let me know and I will make sure that it is done for New York and we will present it to you right there and then at our table or at your booth or wherever you guys are.
That's cool. You've got me thinking. You've got me thinking.
We're ready to rock. You are.
What was your introduction to Star Wars?
My introduction to Star Wars. That is a damn good question. Let's see. I was 2 years old when the first Star Wars came out. You know what? Honestly, I remember my dad taking me to Empire Strikes Back in 1980 very well, because for some reason I thought I was going to be a good kid, and I got into my pajamas at like 7 o'clock at night, thinking that I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to sleep on time, you know, and be a good kid. And my dad came home, and he's, you know, unusual for an Indian dad. He was like, I thought we were going to see Empire Strikes Back. And here I am in my pajamas. I'm like, what? You know, and changed my clothes and we went and saw the movie. But I would have to say, honestly, it was the commercials back in the day, yeah. Back in the late 70s. I mean, just because I was raised on three things. I was raised on, I guess, four things now, come to think of it. I was raised on Star Wars, Kiss, Saturday morning cartoons, and sugar cereals. Like that, I'm a true child of the 70s. Yep. And back then, you could not get away from the insane amount of Star Wars commercials and Kiss commercials. So, and sugar cereal. So it was just, you know, everything. I think just being raised on the TV back then, you know, my first experiences were really watching all of those, like, all of the toy commercials and all the toy and just... You know, and then once I saw Empire, and it was just, you know, I think for any kid back then, whether you saw it in 77 or 80 or even 83, you know, it was, you know, you had a certain view of the world, of how big the world was. Mm-hmm. And that just showed you that what you think is so small because there is a universe out there that you cannot even fathom. And absolutely. I think that was kind of it, you know. I was living in the Bronx in New York with my family, and, you know, it was all buildings and apartment complexes and high-rises, and I was a little tiny kid. And suddenly when you see, you know, oh, man, was it in – I guess it was Empire – when you first see the Star Destroyer, the Executor.
Yep. Yep.
And you see it, and you see the shadow come over the two Star Destroyers there, yes. And you just get this view of like, holy Christ! Like those things were super huge. Now there's something that's even bigger than that. That's shadowing at that. Those things have to land inside. Like I'll never forget that scene. And just like, I think I can picture my mouth just being dropped open. You know, from that initial viewing. So I think that was really what it was the commercials, and then seeing Empire for the first time and just having my mind sufficiently blown.
That's cool.
Because after that, also everything was both.
what's your favorite Star Wars movie?
You know what? I have two. Empire is always going to be, you know, that obviously holds a special place in my heart. But I really love Attack of the Clones. I mean, so I know when people hear this, I'm going to get skewered for this, but I don't really care. But I love the prequels. I love the prequels. Certain parts I'm not a fan of, but that doesn't mean that I hate everything about them. You know, mm-hmm. The love scenes between Anakin and Padme they're a little drawn out and blah. And yes, some of the acting is blah because they have to green screen it instead of actual interactions. But I love Attack of the Clones because they did a lot of things that they never did in Star Wars. Number one, they showed all sorts of not even just new planets, but just new planets, new aliens, new – like just a whole subset that we'd never seen. You know, I mean, we knew about Tatooine and we knew about all of these places. But then they took us to like Kamino, which is like kind of like this planet that got erased. Mm-hmm. You know, so it just led to a whole new group of beings, a whole new group of everything. Secondly, they used percussion as most of the soundtrack, as most of the score, mm-hmm. which I absolutely loved. Like the scenes where Zam attacks Padme and they're chasing her. That's all percussion and all just mm-hmm. it's so different than any Star Wars soundtrack. And I always love it. I get off on that so much. And I also love the seismic charge.
Oh yeah,
that mm-hmm. Django releases. That, like when I saw that in the theater, I just was like, I was like, holy crap! Like I just screamed it out in the theater because I was just like, because they, you know, he releases it, and I'm like, what's that? And it's like, blah! And I was like, whoa, dude! Like that was just it just blew my mind in a million different pieces. So I really love I love that one too.
And no home theater system can replicate that sound like mm-hmm. like an actual theater did it for that charge.
Like, not like that IMAX did. It was
it vibrated in your chest in the theater. You know,
Seriously, it was like the happiest I was ever I ever had getting tinnitus. It was just, it was so, and every time I watch it, it's so funny. It's like one of those things where I'll watch Attack of the Clones, just as atmosphere, but I'll still drag my wife in from wherever she is, and I'll just be like, watch this scene. And she's like, I know. And I was like, I'm like, yes! You know, and I'll be like, all right, go back to what you were doing. You know, like, everybody's going to see this. You know, but it's like, but yeah, those two, I mean, and like I said, Empire is just, it's the staple. I mean, how can you, you can't, you know. Sure. That was, and not only that, it was just such a great, it was, I guess, growing up also, you know, and then ending up liking this kind of pseudo bad guy, not really bad guy, bounty hunter. It was also really cool just to go, wow, like, the Rebels got wrecked, you know, like Luke lost his hand, Han Solo's gone, like, man, like, this didn't work out well for them at all. And it's like, when you look back on it, it's like the Empire Strikes Back. It's like A New Hope and screw your New Hope, you know, like, Star Wars 2, screw your New Hope. And then, you know, Star Wars 3, okay, we'll give you some more hope. You know, it's like,
exactly.
It was. The idea that the villains kind of won was something that really, I think in a weird way, it kind of killed the fairyland concept for me at a young age.
Yep.
That the villains can win, you know, and I think that was a big thing for me back then, you know, and I think especially like kind of being into like Gene Simmons is one of my big idols and yep, Boba Fett, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, these kind of weird, you know, and then kind of Wolverine and the Deadpool and, you know, these kind of weird sort of anti-heroes, you know, people that you wouldn't expect to be or that kind of walk that gray line.
Right.
You know, that's what kind of came to me from those movies.
So what do you think, with those being your favorite Star Wars movies, what do you actually think the best Star Wars movie is? And there is a distinct difference between these two questions.
For sure. The best Star Wars movie, I'm going to say Rogue One, to be honest with you.
You and I are going to get along very well.
One, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, yeah, you know, Rogue One was the first Star Wars movie that made me cry, number one. When Chirrut dies and Baze die, like, man, I was, dude, I couldn't even hold back. I was like, man, this is my color purple, you know, like, it was just, you know, you got to know and like these characters for, I think the amount of feeling that those characters kind of gave everybody when they first showed up on screen, you know, just that they were badass and tough and all these kinds of things. But then it became this like, no, there's this awesome camaraderie, and then there's this kind of feeling of like, yeah, like there was that feeling of hope, and then it just like, but then you see them get cut down, and but they don't get cut down in vain, you know, like when you watch the Jedi's getting killed in Order 66, it's kind of like they all just get stabbed in the back, just it, you know, so that was blam, blam, you know, everybody gets shot and killed, and just, and they don't even see it coming, you know, but everybody who dies in Rogue One, they didn't die in vain. They died for a purpose, with a reason. And I think that made their deaths that much more
meaningful.
That much more meaningful, exactly. Like that much more palpable. It was that much more relatable because they just, you know, they died for a purpose and for a cause and for, you know, liberty and all these kinds of things, but in another way, they also died for each other. And I think that was something that you know, I think they really tried hard to do that with the other ones. And they missed it only by a little bit, unfortunately. But the other thing was that Rogue One took chances where the others didn't or wouldn't. Force Awakens was kind of interesting in that I really had a lot of faith in J.J. Abrams. But he's not, it was funny because he did such a great job with Star Trek. I was so happy with what he did with Star Trek. I was like, man, when he does Star Wars, this is going to be incredible. But he's more of a Star Wars fan than he is a Trekkie. So I think he felt that he could take these risks with Star Trek and just be like, man, let's see what happens. You know, let's throw it against the wall. Star Wars, I felt like, you know, because he was, kind of not recreating, even though he did recreate, but like he was basically trying to, restart the saga again. Mm-hmm. And I think that he was trying to fill these big shoes without thinking like, how about you just wear your shoes, dude? You don't mm-hmm. have to fill somebody else's shoes. Just wear your shoes. Yeah. So he didn't take any risks. If you ever notice in Force Awakens, there's two new spaceships. Two. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, there's only two alien species that are in the other movies. Admiral Ackbar and Nine Numb. You know, even in Maz Kanata's little kind of creature cantina thing, they pan over the crowd so fast that you can't even get a view of who's who and who's doing really what, mm-hmm. you know? And I was really bummed out by that. But in Rogue One, you got more of a sense of like, I mean, where were they in Jeddah City? You mm-hmm. know, like you could see, like you could pause it and just see so many different characters in one space. You know, and just go, wow, who's that? No kidding. I can't wait to find out about that guy. What's that dude? Who's in space? And what the hell is that supposed to be? You know, and I think that was what really, like, when I was watching it, it gave me so much more to look at and to feel and to vibe off of. Mm-hmm. And the acting was really good. The fact that they had, you know, that they shot it in the Maldives, which is like this, like, tropical paradise.
Yeah.
Cool, you know, you never really got to see shore troopers or the Scarif troopers, you know, like just there's so much more cool new stuff in it, which is funny because then they couldn't, you know, there's no way to like move them into current canon.
Yeah.
You're not gonna need a Scarif trooper now, you're not gonna need a Death Trooper now, but at the same time it was like, I think Rogue One really, that was that, when I walked out of that movie theater I was like, whew, I was like, right on, man. I was like, I need to walk around and reflect on what just happened because, you know, I don't think I'm doing enough in my life now. Like, I should be fighting for rebellion or something. And my life a little bit more meaningful. I'm making exactly. action figures, fighting somebody, you know. But that in my opinion, is the best one. I am looking forward to The Last Jedi. But I will tell you this. After Rogue One, I will never trust a Star Wars trailer ever. So just so
you know. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah, well, yeah, considering I think 3 seconds of the trailer actually ended up in the movie, you know.
Yeah, 98% of that trailer was not in the movie.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, and I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go on a slight tangent, but if you're going to reshoot 40% of the movie, give me some freaking deleted scenes in the mm-hmm. Blu-ray, crying out loud. Come on. Seriously. And then I got to go to Target and buy the 3D version, which has a 3D disc, a Blu-ray disc, and a regular DVD. And two extra featurettes, but no deleted scenes? Come on, man. I'm not playing that game. Thank you very much. So, sorry. That was my own editorial comment right there.
No, well, hey, you know what? And it's a lot of people have said it and thought it. So you're right on par. Do you read any of the Star Wars books?
Yes and no, I will say. Okay. Yes, I've read a bunch of them. I haven't read any of them recently. I read a lot of, I've been, kind of catching up more on like the Star Wars theories on YouTube and stuff. So mm-hmm. a lot of the books get explained in that, which I really like. But I honestly haven't had a chance to read it. I have like 8 half finished books on my desk right now.
Sure. Do you have a favorite of the ones that you have read?
I mean, a lot of the ones I've read are not canon anymore, so I don't know if that necessarily...
Fine. Yes,
it's oh,
Shadows it totally of the counts.
Shadows of the
Empire. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Freaking awesome. Yep. I'm not a fast book reader, hence the reason I have 8 half-finished books. but Shadows of the Empire was the first book I read front to back in one day, and I was like, holy crap, I can't believe I read this, but it was such a great... I mean, at a time especially where... Star Wars wasn't really a thing, if you will, you know, like the hype had died down so much. Everything was kind of gone. You know, it's like mm-hmm. KB basically had like, Star Wars figures for like 15 cents, you know, like,
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and once Timothy Zahn came out with, I guess it was Heir to the Empire. And then they started kind of releasing a few books here and there. I was like, oh, all right. And I picked up Shadows and it was just such a great connection between Empire and Return of the Jedi, and explained how Lando got into Jabba's palace, how, you know, how Leia got the Bausch costume. Like, it was just such a cool way to connect everything. Mm-hmm. I am a big fan of the Star Wars comics. So any of the Dark Horse stuff, oh my God. Legacy, I don't know if you guys have ever read Legacy, but phenomenal. Yep. That is by far Cade Skywalker and Darth Krayt and all that is some of the coolest stuff ever. We've actually made a number of figures from Legacy. If you take a look, we've made Darth, what's her name? Shoot. I can't remember. It's one of the female Sith Lords, and her name is
Talon.
It wasn't Talon. It was the other one.
Talon.
Malady. Darth Malady. Yes. We did Darth Malady. We did a Cade Skywalker. We've done a Darth Krayt. I think we did one other one who's escaping me right now. We've done a bunch from Knights of the Old Republic. So we did like Zane Carrick. Mm-hmm. We've done a couple of those. We did a Shudo from Legacy, the Twi'lek Jedi. So we did him too. If you look at his figure, seriously, you would seriously think that Hasbro did it. But
cool.
You know, so, we've done a bunch of those. I love all of that stuff. Star Wars Infinities is really dope. Like I said, I'm a big fan of What If stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that. Like, I was just actually reading Infinities earlier today, Empire Strikes Back one, where Luke dies on Hoth and Lando encases Boba Fett in carbonite and makes him into his desk. You know, I like that. That's great. I love What If stuff. That's why when people ask me, like, oh, what do you think about, you know, canon versus legends now? I'm like, you know what? I'm fine with it. I like that there's kind of a new timeline now. You know, we already know what happens with the Yuuzhan Vong, and we already know what happens with all of that. Okay, let's try a different timeline. Like, let's go in a slightly different direction. That's, sure. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think, if anything, it's awesome because it just means
more Star Wars.
Well, A, it means more Star Wars, which, right on, sign me up. But B, it's also kind of like, what would really be the difference? You know, what if they, you know, what if they, this version, this canon of Star Wars right now was Legends, and the other one was canon? It doesn't really matter in a way. You know, you have one that's kind of a what if and one that's a what if. So, you know, in a sci-fi series. So the whole thing is a what if.
Yeah. Exactly.
So to me, it's, you know, I don't mind either way, but I love all those old stories. I love Knights of the Old Republic. I love all of that stuff. However, the one thing that I think is kind of strange is that they're so intent on, you know, being like, okay, no, this is canon. This is canon. This is canon. Yet the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive from Hasbro is Jaina Solo.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, not canon anymore.
Not that I'm complaining, but I thought we were all on this hell bent to keep everything canon, and then you're gonna release a Jaina Skywalker, Jaina Solo figure. I'm like, okay. Hey, don't get me wrong, I want to get it, but I just, you know, it's kind of one of those things. Just kind of keep your story straight or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, or at least just be kind of, I don't want to say transparent, but just be, you know, just be open to just saying like, no, everything is canon, but we respect everything that's Legends, and we'll still even make stuff from Legends. Great. Then at least we know we can get stuff. You know, it's not like, oh, everything you've ever learned about Star Wars is just a lie. Forget it. It was a dream. Slay had a really long dream, and that's what it was. You know, like, at least this way, you know, as older fans, we can go, okay, cool. Like, they're not abandoning it, but we're not following that timeline per se. Okay, great. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. I just wish they would say it rather than just be like, everything's canon. Here's Jaina Solo. thanks. You know, we're not going to do anything. Here's a car. What? You know, so that's, I don't know. That's, you know, it's just a mixed message. That's all.
Yeah.
But, so who is your favorite Star Wars character?
So my favorite character is definitely Boba Fett. Always has been ever since I was 5. You know, I've always been, like I said, I've always been a fan of kind of the anti-hero. And I remember being a kid and people always telling me, why do you like Boba Fett? He's the bad guy. And I remember being like, he's not a bad guy. And they're like, yeah, he's working with Darth Vader. And I'm like, no, Darth Vader just hired him with money. Yeah. The Rebels could have hired him with money to hunt Darth Vader. They just never did.
Yeah.
You know,
he was just making a living.
And it was Right. It was me basically having to explain that bounty hunters really aren't bad guys. They're just going after what they're paid to go after. And it was always a really tough thing. Same thing with Gene Simmons. Why do you like that guy? He's bad. He's blood and he's got the tongue and he looks evil. He's a guy playing bass singing about girls. Like, I don't see what the problem is here, folks. And that was really what it was. And I guess that's kind of been my theme in a weird way, kind of growing up and even right now. I mean, not for nothing, man. I'm 42 years old. I have a mohawk and I'm covered in tattoos. Like, and I own my own company called War Machine Marketing. Like, you know, it's like there's always going to be this level of explanation that you got to give people, because people will sometimes just see what they want to see and not scratch below the surface.
Sure.
And I think that's kind of been a theme of mine throughout my life is, you know, you can look at the person who's got the purple dreadlocks and the nose ring, but that doesn't mean anything, you know, like, why don't you talk to them and see what they're about? Exactly. And I think that's really what it came down to with Boba Fett and with a lot of these other characters is really like, okay, well, what's their motivation? Well, you know, his motivation is money. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Like, all right, what are we all willing to do for money? You know, does that make us always bad people? No, not necessarily. So I think that was always the thing. He was kind of the start of him and Gene Simmons were kind of the start of my, you know, there's, you know, good and evil is not necessarily just good, white, evil, black, you know. There's this shade of gray that's in the middle that most people kind of operate on. And that's always been kind of a big, big thing for me. So, you know, when it came, once they, you know, episode 2 came out and you found out he was a clone and all the clone troopers and everything. And I was kind of like, all right, I don't know. To me, some people were like, oh man, that's how they're going to do Boba Fett. And I'm like, I don't know. I actually think that's kind of cool. It's not like he was some clone from a, you know, some, you know, douchebag waiting at the, you know, at the cantina, you know. And he's still unique, which is awesome because he's got no growth hormones, no accelerated anything. So mm-hmm. he still is like human for the most part. But at the same time, it's like, it's really awesome that he came from this Mandalorian, this bounty hunter who was part of, you know, this peacekeeper, you know, the whole thing, you know, Concord Dawn, the whole nine, you know, I thought that was like the best way to kind of grow up. And then the same thing, it's like to not really, to be kind of in the middle. He's not technically a real person, but he's not a robot either. He's this shade of gray.
Yeah.
You know? And I thought I always thought that was brilliant, you know? And then once I saw episode 2 and I was like, that kind of cinched it for me. I was like, yeah, man, he's got it going on. He, you know, he's resourceful. He's all the things that in a weird way, we all hope to be.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. What's your favorite Star Wars quote?
Let's see. Well, I have some silly ones, and then I have one that I actually have tattooed on me. So some of my silly ones are, and I use these all the time. One of them is, hello there. That's always been a favorite. it's such a great way to surprise somebody, you know?
Mm-hmm. Especially if you drop down from a ceiling, you know.
Just especially if you drop down from a ceiling. Exactly. Most of the Fett lines, even though there's few and far between, you know, but like, you know, I'll usually spout out a, you know, he's no good to me dead kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Especially at an inappropriate time, you know, that kind of thing. You know? Like, where's your brother? I need him. Oh, he's no good to me dead. You know, and I'll be like, what are you talking about? That kind of thing. But I don't know if you could see this, but I'm going to try and show this to you guys.
Okay.
Can you see what's written on my hands?
Do or do not. There is no try. That's awesome.
That's perfect.
That's so awesome.
That ultimately is the line that sticks with me.
Yeah. So, hey, it's a very, you know, people throw it out there, but it's got a lot of depth to it.
Mm-hmm. It really does. My wife is a huge, my wife is a Buddhist and she's a huge Yoda fan because literally everything he says is Buddhist teachings. Yes. With the exception of, I mean, seriously, on a slight tangent again, but my favorite is, I can't teach the boy. He's got no patience. Wait, what? He's got no patience? You met him 2 seconds ago. Come on. What is that all about? And then, like, Obi-Wan's got to convince him. Like, come on, was I that different? Come on, man. Like, we said we were going to do this. What? I guess I'm fine. You know, like, what? Sorry, that was always a big thing for me. He's got no patience. What? You have no patience, jerk. You know, but yeah, everything he says is really just Buddhist teachings, you know? Every part of that is really what it is. But I think do or do not, there is no try. You really, when you talk to people after hearing that quote or, you know, having it reiterated to you, you realize just how many people really do say, like, all right, yeah, I'll try that. Or, mm-hmm. I'll try. And you're just mm-hmm. like, no, just freaking do it. Just stop saying it and just do it. And believe me, my wife constantly is like, look at your fingers. I'm like, right.
Nice.
You know, but
you
that's
can't get away from it then.
You need to do something. I'll be like, yeah, I'll try. She'll be like, and I'll be like, crap. Boiled again by my own tattoos. You know, but yeah, that is by far my favorite one. It's just, it is way poignant. It's way, it's universal. You know, it's the ultimate way to really show people also just how much we tend to hide behind mm-hmm. The easy way out.
Sure.
You know, easy way out is to say, yeah, I'll give it a shot. I'll try, whatever. You know, I won't put any real effort into it. And to me, it's really a way to kind of get people off their ass, if you will, and get them to do something.
Yeah,
totally agree.
So what would be your dream job in the Star Wars universe?
Oh, like you mean if I was in the Star Wars universe or
yes.
Just? Oh, I would be a bounty hunter for sure. I would be. It's a great way to hide your face so nobody really knows who you are. You know, there's like weird Swiss bank accounts all over the place. Obviously, bounty hunters get to use them, so nobody's really giving them a hassle about that. You know, all things considered, you know, it's like that's not a bad way to go, really. I mean, mm-hmm. other than kind of a Lando Calrissian Baron Administrator of a gas mine kind of job where it's like, you know, he was literally the big fish in the small sea. You know, it's like you can pretty much do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But I like I've always been kind of a resourceful kind of person anyway. You know, I when I go for a bike ride, I'll ride my bike for like 15, 20 miles, but I'll always have, you know, a change of clothes on me. Like I'll always have all the essentials with me so that I'm never truly stuck anywhere. So sure. I keep that kind of close to my chest, you know, is the idea of it's going to sound kind of weird, but like is the idea of doing projects for money, you know, which is kind of what I do now. That's one of the reasons why it's called mm-hmm. War Machine Marketing. I always say that I'm kind of a marketing weapon special, like dealer, you know.
That's awesome.
Like I sell marketing tools to this side and I sell marketing tools to this side. And if they want to use my marketing tools to fight each other, that's
cool. That's
as long fun. As I get paid, I'm a happy camper. You know,
that's right. You'll sell the Coke and Pepsi and you're good.
Exactly. If I make something for Sony and they're competing with Warner Brothers and they're going to use the swag that I make them to, you know, battle it out,
mm-hmm.
rock on, enjoy, you know, like that's kind of my thing. That's why I've always looked at myself as kind of a bounty hunter in that regard is, you know, let's find projects and let's, you know, figure out how to make them, you know, how to make money from them. And, but at the same time, you know, be resourceful and figure out where, you know, where there's money to be made, where there's opportunities to be had, really.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why, like, we're doing the magazine and everything like that. It's like we've seen a void in that world. You know, there used to be Wizard and there used to be a Toy Fair and there used to be all the, you know, a couple of different magazines out there. And now there's, like, I mean, the Star Wars Insider, which is rad and I love it. But, you know, there's in Sci-Fi Dialogue or whatever it's called. But it's like mm-hmm. everything else is pretty much gone, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my thing is, like, where can we find these opportunities, you know?
Sure,
where can we
sure.
find these opportunities and really take advantage of them? But also, you know, for me, I'm big on propagating this community, you know, this pop culture community in, as a whole. So, you know, while bounty hunters are mostly pretty much self-serving, I'm kind of like, yeah, of course I want to live and have a shelter and food and things like that. But, you know, I also want people to, you know, be able to experience something that's much, much larger. And feel like they can really be, you know, kind of have some ownership of it, You know, I mean, there's plenty of people out there who are huge, you know, cosplayers and things like that, who are huge fans. But then it's like, I feel like when they get a custom figure, you know, they feel like suddenly they've been like kind of vaulted into a further part of what we're all making into a bigger yeah. arena.
Yeah.
And that's kind of. Yeah. That's kind of how I feel about that, you know. So yeah, Bounty Hunter and Star Wars for sure.
Absolutely.
A Bounty Hunter who gives to charity. I think that's kind of the way.
Yeah. You know? So
save Tauntaun.
Exactly. So speaking of you and War Machine Marketing, where can people find you out on the interwebs?
The interwebs. We're at warmachinemarketing.com, easy peasy. Also facebook.com/warmachinemktg, or Instagram, Twitter, all those places. C4 magazine right now, since we're just starting, it's just facebook.com/C4mag. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it. Otherwise, people can email me at rok@warmachinemarketing.com, and I'm seemingly always at my email. I feel like I'm always at my desk, so I'm never ending. But yeah, that's really the best way to get in touch with me. If you see me walking around on the street, typically wearing a death metal shirt that should say obituary, but it says Obi-Wan.
Sweet.
You know, like, and I'm the brown guy with the mohawk, so you know, feel free to pick me out of the crowd. I'm pretty easy to talk to. So, you know, I was like hanging out talking to people about Star Wars and metal and toys and such. So, you know, if people want to talk about stuff like that, believe me, I'm all ears.
That's really cool, bro. Yeah, we appreciate your time tonight, and we look forward to hopefully seeing you in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yeah, please definitely drop me a line. Like I said, once I find out more about where we're going to be and all that, I will let you guys know. And, you know, definitely looking forward to meeting you guys as well. It would be great.
Sweet. Awesome. Chris, you got anything else?
I think I'm good.
Awesome.
I love that your last name is McGuffin. That's like the best. I was like, look, I'm like, wait, is his name really like yeah. a movie, like a plot device? That's awesome. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I'm just glad that you pronounced it right.
Oh, couldn't imagine pronouncing it. How would people pronounce it?
You'd be surprised.
McGuffin.
They like to put an R in there, even though there's no R.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. You know how many times I get Robert? I'm like, really? You're just going to add a bunch of letters to my name? Appreciate that. Don't need that, though. Nice and easy the way it is.
Well, that's great.
Thank you guys very, very much. I appreciate it in a big, big way.
Cool. Thank you, Ro. We definitely appreciate it on our end. And, yeah, we look forward to seeing you. Hopefully we can – our listeners will throw some business your way.
Yep.
I hope so, too. And I hope you guys get some figures made as well. Like I said, man, we can have them ready for you for New York.
Cool. Thanks, man.
No problem. Take care, guys. Have a great night.
You too.
So thanks again to Ro for joining us for that awesome interview. We will put links to his website and his Facebook, too, in the show notes. I highly, highly recommend that you go look at some of those custom action figures because they are impressive.
Yeah. Do it.
And I wish that we were recording video too, because he was showing us a lot of the ones that he had. And, oh, I want one, honestly.
oh, absolutely. Those things look just absolutely incredible.
So, yeah, that's going to do it for this pretty long episode of Echo Base. I hope you guys didn't mind that. Hopefully Ian can cut down some of the pauses and the ums and whatnot. But yeah, if you like this, good. If you didn't, well, sorry. It's you know, it's probably only a one-time thing because we did have a lot to cover. And the interview, we didn't want to cut out any of that good content.
Oh, so. No. And we could have gone so much longer with them.
Yeah. So you're honestly pretty lucky.
Or maybe you wanted us to go longer. We could have actually broken the record for the longest Echo Base episode ever.
So yeah, if you have feedback about the show, you can reach us by email, echobase@randomchatter.com. That goes to me and Lou, and I don't know if it goes to Tim yet. That's something we have to sort out. But Lou is the email guy, so...
You can find us online at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork, and also obviously at randomchatter.com. You can catch us on Twitter at Echo Base Podcast, the Random Chatter Network at Random Chatter.
You can find me on Twitter at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's. And where can they find you?
I'm at The Curse of Chris.
Certainly, you go to ramchatter.com. We have lots of stuff up there. You can find all of our shows up there. You can find some past episodes. And of course, you can go to your favorite podcast thing like iTunes or Stitcher, and you can get past podcasts from there. You can find Lou on Twitter at Lou Secchi. That's S-E-S-E-C-K-I, right?
Yep.
Yeah. At Lou S-E. It's not my name. I don't know. you can find Lou on Twitter at Talk Like a Gungan.
There you go.
Either Ian's going to edit all of this out or none of it.
Hopefully none of it.
Yeah. Make it even better. It's like quarter to midnight.
Put some Gungan sound effects in there.
That wouldn't be necessary.
So let's see. Yeah, definitely spread the word about us. If you enjoy what we're doing, then, you know, please tell people. Leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. And again, wherever else you might be downloading your podcast from. Reviews are real important. You know, 5 stars or whatever other type of icon they happen to use. Max that stuff out. Leave some good written reviews. Tell people how awesome we are. Tell people how cool it was to hear Lou talk like a Gungan. It's a little spoilery, but that's fine. Tell people that we're getting some awesome interviews of people like Ro Coley and Heather Antos and Galactic Empire and all sorts of other good people. You definitely want to contribute to us if you can. If it's financially possible for you to do so, we greatly appreciate it. You can make contributions to us at patreon.com/randomchatter. You heard us talk about the new perks earlier in the show. Hopefully you are as excited about them as I am.
The music that you hear in this podcast is The Force Theme by Scandroid and The Imperial March by Soul Dweller. All right, everyone. Well, thanks again for joining us on Echo Base. We need to go find Lou, Tim.
But it's cold out there.
I know.
My tauntaun will freeze before it reaches the outer marker.
But we gotta be nice. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.